Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
He's on the pace to get 81 RBIs. For $1 billion a year, it's kind of low, don't you think?
That'll get better.
You better hope so, because, I mean, like, these are all home games. Hey, geez. No offense, 81's a low number for a guy making that kind of cash.
It would be, yeah.
Yeah.
And if it comes to that point, I'll rip him then.
You're not going to rip him, for goodness sakes. Hey, you rip him, you'll break your kid's heart.
It'll be a good lesson. You got to produce when you're getting paid that much.
It's going to be rough living in that house. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business. RV, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. They do a great job making sure you're fully insured. And they do a great job of doing everything they can to save you money. And they'll go to great lengths to save you money. Because customer service means everything. And they do a great job. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Again, if Jalen Hurts only cared about the winning, he just would have played on his rookie contract, correct?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I mean, you're over there, mic drop moment. I'm like, well, actually, no. I mean, it's like if that's all he cared about. He just play for his rookie contract. We'd be good. But he took the cash. And let's be honest about it. All of you would have taken the cash, including me. We all would have taken the cash. All of us. And then told everybody we cared about winning. All right. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Fox into the backfield. Hunting Curry. He's got Curry on the switch. Fox over to Barnes for the lead. And that's it. The Warriors survive.
They had, the best home record in the NBA this year. And when they went back home, they were able to win back-to-back games and tie the series at 2. Now, on the road, the Warriors have been a mixed bag, so they have to go back to Sacramento. The question is going to be, though, whether De'Aaron Fox is able to play. He does have a broken finger on his left hand. So, that is something to look for. When you look at field storming and court storming, have you seen what the SEC is considering here?
Uh-oh.
South Carolina, you know, they were able to win a game late. They stormed the field. Tennessee beat Alabama, stormed the field. And guess what? The fine, there is a fine when that happens. It's $100,000. And look, you know, and they carried the goalposts away. I mean, I remember in the 80s here, Penn State beat Nebraska, 82. It's one of the greatest games ever played in that stadium. Two great college teams head-to-head. Penn State won it 27-24. They not only stormed on the field, they ripped down the goalpost, and they carried the goalpost down College Avenue. Like, okay. Well, it got to a point where they started getting worried here about that happening because there was something that happened at Yale where I think they were playing Harvard. They tore down the goalpost and it hit one of the co-eds in the head, and she was hospitalized for a long period of time. So that's, you know, that brought with it the concern. Well, now you have field stormings that have been happening in the SEC. They have not really seen it really in the Big Ten. I mean, I know the night Penn State beat Ohio State in 2016, the fans were on the field at the end. They, you know, obviously. But SI.com was the first to report it. The Athletic has confirmed it, that they are considering, and it's only a consideration, taking away a home game for offending schools. So had the rule been in place when Tennessee beat Alabama, the next scheduled home game against Alabama in 2024 would be played in Tuscaloosa.
I don't know how I feel about that.
That's called a deterrent. In other words, everybody knows what the rules of engagement happen to be.
I still have a hard time punishing the football team for something that the fans might or might not do, even though it is their own school.
You're punishing the fans.
Right, but at the same time, you're still punishing the team because you have to make them go on the road again.
There will be no game at home for you to watch this year with Alabama. You are gone. And you have to play an additional road game.
That's what I'm saying. That's a punishment to the football team.
And here's one for you. Stay off the field. Let's try that.
Yeah, but the football team can't control that. I mean, the athletic department can control that, but the football team itself can't control that.
If everybody knows it before the game, what does it do?
I guess that's true.
I mean, this isn't one of those, surprise, you went on the field, we're taking away a home game. What? Nobody told us. Okay? That's what they're trying to avoid. Okay? They're trying to avoid a potential. This is not taking away fun or anything like that. You're not supposed to be in the field anyway. All right? Now, the blue-white game's different. It's over. It's a great tradition. Fans get to walk in the field, and they have to wait. They it's not like you can go on the field right away. You're worried about a couple things. Number one, when they start storming onto the field, you know what the first thing I worry about is? Somebody accidentally falling and getting trampled. Every time I've seen this, whether it was field, because it's happened, it has happened in some games. Look, I'll be honest with you, it's happened in some games I've done. Like Penn State played at Ohio State, and scored in the last minute, won the game against Penn State, and they stormed the field. Iowa, when they held off Penn State in 2008, they're on the field. Okay, I got it. But I worry about somebody falling and getting trampled by the stampede because nobody's paying attention. That's one. I'm always concerned about the Hillsborough disaster, which happened back in 1989. And those people got crushed, and 97 people died in that. And they covered it up for years. I mean, they covered it up, what actually happened. This took forever. And the other element I'm concerned about is are the players and the coaches, especially from the opposing team, getting them, you know, you're going to have some idiot that, you know, they're going to get in the face of some coach and go, hey, where it's like, it's, please. Okay, this is their office. Do you walk into somebody's, I mean, do you walk into the suit's office and go, hey, yeah, how about that one? Do you ever do that? Well, I think you have. So let's go to Bob in Hanover. Hello, Bob.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Bob, how you been?
I've been doing good. Hey, I just wanted to let you know, I was a senior at Penn State in the 78 season.
Yeah.
And we tore, well, I shouldn't say we, I didn't do it, but the students tore the goalposts down when we beat Ohio State 19-0, and we were undefeated that year. The interesting thing, though.
Yeah, but that game was at Ohio State.
The game was at Ohio State.
I was there. My friend Rick Barry and I'm going to see Rick next week in Wilkes-Barre. Rick's giving the commencement speech. Rick and I drove out to that game together. We were actually at the game. Yeah, at Ohio State. When we came back, somebody said they tore down the goalpost in Beaver Stadium. We're looking, he's like, what?
Yeah, that is true, because I remember we watched the game downtown. They put up, that was before you watched a lot of games in bars. They put up a big screen in the one theater down there, and there's about couple hundred people watching it there. But after the game, we went to McDonald's on College Avenue to get something to eat, and we're sitting there and we see people walking through the McDonald's with pieces of the goalpost. It was, I couldn't believe that he did that.
And believe me, and I'm all for fun. I am all for fun, and I'm all for unbridled joy. I love it. But there are certain lines, though, that I worry about. In other words, in the fun, because of the mass exodus onto the field, could somebody get hurt doing it?
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, and that's the part I get concerned.
Back in 1978, they apparently didn't even lock the stadium at
No. In fact, there's still some places like that. Florida? You can walk into Florida Field anytime you want. Dick Girardi and I were shooting around one day. Well, we just walked right in. Like, hey, okay, great. Go.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to throw that in there. I didn't know if you knew of that incident or not.
Yeah, we heard about it once we got back in Rick's Volkswagen, his old VW Bug. We got back and they said they tore down the goalposts. And we're like, oh, no, they were still up. It was, you know, there were only like 5,000 of us there. And they know, no, here. We're like, oh, really? I think some of our friends participated in it. That's why we knew about it.
Yeah, I didn't participate in it. I must admit, though, had I known it was going to be going on, I may have walked over there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, Bob. I worry about it. No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
My God. Thanks. That's fun. Yeah, that's funny. That's really funny. Yeah, Rick and I came back. We're like, hey, we tore the goalpost down. We're like, Rick and I are like, no, we were in the stadium. They were still up when we left. No, here. Like, what? Well, they finally had to, I remember they, especially in the 80s, and I was doing the pregame show with Joe at the time. Because that was one of my responsibilities as the third announcer on the network in the 80s, was to do the pregame, postgame show with them. And that was a point of emphasis for a period of time. Like, hey, guys, you know, he was always concerned about, especially after the Harvard-Yale incident, and when she got hit by the goalpost being torn down, it was like one of those, like, hey, this is the reason why we can't have it happen, because inadvertently something really bad can happen by doing that. Okay? It has nothing to do with cost or anything like that. And my concern is, and I'll never forget Mike Krzyzewski, they lost the game at Virginia. And, of course, Duke is going to be always one of those teams that has the target on it. You know, and especially when Mike was the coach. And if you were to beat Duke, it was a monumental win for you. You know, that carries all. We beat Duke, right? And it happened a couple times in the season. Man, it happened like three or four times in the season. And every time, of course, Duke would lose on the road. They'd storm the court. And Mike finally got into a press conference and basically said, hey, look, I've had enough. Because, you know, the players can't get off the court. The support staff can't get off the floor. He can't get off the floor. His assistants can't. They're trying to get to the locker room, get out of there. You know, and you've got all these people like crowding around. You can't move, the whole thing. And I know they've court stormed here. I know that. But you know, you get concerned about it. It's the safety factor you get concerned about. It's the safety factor for the fans, and it's the safety factor for the players, the coaches, the staff, and so forth. Because I mean, they should be allowed to. Okay, you've been out there throwing your guts into it for 3.5 hours. You shouldn't have to fight like hell to get to your locker room. And I think Vanderbilt stormed the field this year when they beat Florida, and they got fined $250,000. But, like, for these programs, no offense, it's kind of, I don't know, especially in the SEC, that's, quote, pocket change. To quote the suit when he goes on the road, tip change.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells foul duck.
Actually, you don't tip at Chick-fil-A, do you?
I haven't, so I can't speak for anybody on that.
Yeah, but I always love when the check comes and he has that look on his face and he starts like touching his pockets like, I'm a little short here. I got it. Don't worry about it. We're good.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit.
C-H-E-A-P, that spells cheap. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Back him down, you would think.
What he's trying to do. Tobias jump stop, throws it up, and gets the roll. And the Sixers able to rally back from double figures down to go up 3-0. Trailed by as many as 11 in the first quarter here today. They're now up 11 with 2:40 to go. Paul Reed on the roll. The scoop and score. A double-double for B-Ball Paul.
Okay, actually, that's not where I wanted to go, but that's all right. You can cut the song, because I actually wanted to do something that was actually, like, something that was really, like, cool. Because, I mean, that's not really cool. It's just like, okay, they won a game. They get to the next round. Adorable. How about a 13-year trip to the minor leagues to finally get told?
Right? And there's some of us that have had the chance to be in the major leagues. And it was for one day. And there's going to be some of us going to get a chance to take that one day and turn it into a one plus. And so it is with great pleasure that I get to promote my first person to the major leagues and someone that is tremendously important to this group and someone that exemplifies grit, a choice to continue to fight for what he wants in life, and a lot of that is having the right perspective. And so, imagine you're going to get an opportunity to go out.
Drew Maggi, 13 years in the minors, is finally going to get to the majors with the Pirates. And you know what's really cool about the story? As he buried, he's crying. You want to know where the 13-year journey began? Here, in State College. His first stop in the minor leagues was to play for the State College Spikes. Drew is, he was back, he was here in 2010. And when I saw that, I was so thrilled for him. 13 years, and he finally gets to the majors. Now, Matt's doing the, like, Sixers song and things like that. Like, I mean, let's take the show and circle a fogged-in airport. That's a good story.
I did see that, too, and that's a great story. Now we got to see him get on the field.
He'll get on the field. He'll get on the field. Somewhere, you know, they'll DH him. They'll do something with him. But Drew will get on the field. I'm just so happy for him. 13 years. You know what kind of perseverance it takes to ride all those buses for 13 years to finally live a dream? Eric was...
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Up to the majors. See what happened with the Phillies played the Colorado Rockies this past weekend, right? I believe. Oh, I forgot, it's not the Yankees, you have no clue. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers is now a New York Jet.
Oh, my almighty!
There it is.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. The Phillies played the Rockies over the weekend.
Okay.
Glad I could confirm that for you. You scared the daylights out of me, you know that? And Jeff Dooley, who has done the New Britain Rock Cats and now the Hartford Yard Goats for 25 seasons, got called up this weekend to do couple major league games at Citizens Bank Park for the Rockies Network. He's been an out. I've met Jeff several times. Great guy, excellent announcer. Thrilled for him. He got a chance to move up because of the way things played out with the Rockies network. He got to do a couple games in the majors this weekend. So good for him. Good for him. Okay, so Aaron Rodgers has been dealt to the Jets. They had to do something this week. You had to do it this week. You can't just sit there and go into the draft and not make the deal. And so he has been dealt for the first-round pick this year at number 15, a fifth-round pick at 170. The Jets also have to give up their first-round pick. Let's see. Okay, this is how it goes. The Packers deal Rodgers and their pick 15th overall, and a fifth-round pick at 170 to the Jets. The Packers will get the Jets' first-round pick at 13, second-round pick at 42, a sixth-round pick at 207, and a conditional 2024 second-round pick that becomes a first if Rodgers plays in 65% of the plays this season. So again, the Packers deal Rodgers and their 15th overall pick and their fifth-round pick to the Jets for the Jets' first pick at 13th overall. So they just flip picks there. The second-round pick at 42, a sixth-round pick at 207, and a conditional second-round pick that could become a first if Rodgers plays in 65% of the games this season. Now, Joe Namath had given his blessing to Rodgers to wear 12 if he went. Rodgers is going to wear his college number, which is 8. Okay? So now it's all set. Jordan Love becomes the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. God's sakes. You go to ESPN.com, they show the four analysts all like, oh my God, they tried. But you didn't expect it? He was going to be dealt. Exactly. How did we react here? Okay, here's the trade. Like, well, you got to be kidding me. Okay. They act like, whoa, what? So, the heck? They traded him. Did anybody in the audience not expect him to be traded? But then you look at these four people. Schefter, Orlovsky, Mina Kimes, and I don't know. I'm not quite sure who the other guy is. You're like, oh, I'm like going, huh, what? Like, what'd you expect?
That's ESPN for you in a nutshell.
I mean, you sit there like, okay, guess what? Everybody expected him to be dealt sometime this week. It had to be done before the draft. Could have been draft night. But whatever, they've done it. So now he's a Jet. Okay. And we'll see how it pays off. It's a good time to do it. Because you can get some traction in the NFC East right now, and a lot's going to depend on how the Bills come together. And I think that we'll see what happens with them. Miami's a little bit better, but their draft is they don't have a first round pick. And the team that's in great shape, draft capital wise, happen to be the Eagles, because the Eagles not only have a team that went to the Super Bowl. But they have the 10th overall pick in the draft. Oh, it looks like they have the next last pick of the first round. What does that mean? When you have the next to last pick of the first round.
Typically, that's for the Super Bowl runner-up.
Yep, that's your team. Yep, perfect. There we go. Welcome to the role of being the bridesmaid. All right. But they're in great shape with A, their team, their quarterback's locked up, and they have the 10th overall pick, which now gives them great flexibility in a draft that is absolutely unpredictable. They don't have to use the pick on a quarterback. They've got that part done. It is settled and locked in. A year ago, we were talking about what are they going to do? Will they have to take that pick and use it for a quarterback? Well, about a month into the season, it's like, nope, don't need that spot. Hey, we're in good shape there. And then they have, then obviously, a second pick as well. And that's, that's really, you're talking about a big plus all the way through. And so they've got a draft that is that really puts them in a strong spot. Now they have to take advantage of it. And we'll see how they do take advantage, because sometimes they've taken advantage of it, and sometimes, let's face it, they haven't. As for the Rodgers thing, this settles what they're going to do. It's going to be interesting to see what the Packers do with the 13th pick, because you're sitting there and you're looking at years where the Packers have gone by, and the same refrain has been the last 4 or 5 years of what? They need to get somebody to help out Rodgers on offense. and they kept not doing it. And they got to the point where then Davante Adams left and he signed with the Raiders. So now it's Jordan Love. It's going to be his ball game up there. And now Rodgers goes to the Jets. How much does Rodgers have left in the tank? Skill player-wise, a guy like Garrett Wilson makes it a big plus for them. And look, now the Jets at least have a quarterback who, quote, knows what he's doing out there. The question is going to be, from that point, how much does he want to put into this? Right? Because I think that was the question that everybody had about Rodgers last season. How much did he put into it? Well, what kind of shape was he in? And let's see if he can get himself into the kind of shape that he needs to be in to get it done with them. Protection-wise, their offensive line is good. It's not great, but it's good. I think it's good enough. And they do have wideouts that can play. And it's going to, you know, and look, you're sitting there and you have to be able to, if you're the Jets, this is your all-in move right here. This is your all-in move.
It is, but I don't think it's going to ultimately result in what they're looking for.
Well, I don't know what they're looking for. I think, you know, it depends. Are they looking to get to the playoffs? This is a move that can get to the playoffs.
That it can, but that's about it. This is not going to get you to deep into January and February. I'm sorry.
Depends on your matchups. You know, you already know the matchups?
No, it's just I don't think Aaron Rodgers is good enough anymore to get that far. I don't care who the matchup is.
Okay. It depends. I mean, the league's pretty even, to be honest with you. I mean, that's one thing about the league is crafted in such a way where it has become an even ball game. And that's, you know, that's what's so intriguing about the NFL. Pete Rozelle talked about parity so long ago. And now parity is, you know, you can argue parity versus mediocrity. Fair argument. Fair argument. You can talk about parity versus mediocrity. And I think, you know, if, you know, you can argue either one, and I think you can give a successful argument about parity versus mediocrity. But the league is designed in such a way where you can move up and you can do it in a hurry. I mean, the Eagles, what did the Eagles play? A third-place schedule this year? I'm asking in all seriousness, whether it was a third or a second?
It was a second place.
Okay, second-place schedule. And to be honest with you, the Eagles did not play a good schedule this year, right? I mean, we said it all year long. Like, this is not a great schedule. This year, it's going to be like, well, okay. You know, I mean, there's no way they're losing one game this year just because the competition is just going to be better. Their schedule most of the year was not good. I mean, when one of the better teams you played happened to be Detroit in the opening game of the season, I mean, when they played Dallas, they played the backup quarterback. They played the Giants at the end. They were a playoff. They played with their backup quarterback. There's a lot of things where a lot of things fell right for Philadelphia this year schedule-wise. They did not play an ace schedule. So what the heck were the Jets last year? The Jets? Huh. See, the Jets are going to play a last-place schedule, Matt. That's the whole thing. The Jets are playing a last-place schedule.
Well, that'll help them.
Yeah, no, it's going to help them not a little. It's going to help them a lot. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here.
But even in winnable games, Aaron Rodgers didn't play that well. And I think part of it goes to the stuff we've talked about before. He wasn't there for the spring OTAs and minicamp and things like that, so he wasn't on the same page with his receivers. He himself was not in the best of shape. I don't trust that he's going to have himself ready. I still don't.
They're gonna play the Browns, they're going to play the Texans, and they're going to play the Broncos. Right? That's automatic. I mean, so right out of the gate, they automatically play five last place teams out of 17. That's automatic. And let me just see. Jets 2023 schedule. Knowing my thing, it would be the Winnipeg Jets. There we go. Let's see. Who will the Jets play in the 2023 season? The Jets will play home and away with the Bills, home and away with the Dolphins, home and away with the Patriots. They will play the Chiefs. They play the Chargers. They will play the Eagles. They'll play Washington, Houston, Atlanta. Okay, so those are the home games. They are home with Buffalo, Miami, New England, Kansas City, Chargers, Philadelphia, Washington, Houston, Atlanta. Okay, they're on the road with Buffalo, Miami, New England, obviously, Denver, the Raiders, Cowboys, Giants, and the Browns. Raiders being a last place team, Broncos, or next to last. How many teams over 500 are they playing? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Nine teams over 500, 8 under. And part of that is being in the division. Those two teams are over 500. That's 4 of the 9. So of the other 11 games, 5 of them are against teams that are over 500. That's it. That's going to be part of what happens. It's the last place schedule part.
Looking at that schedule, I still got them like 9 wins.
That puts them in the playoffs.
Right. That puts them in the playoffs, but I think that gets them to the like AFC title game.
What, that you don't think that wouldn't be a step forward?
It would be in a logical sense, but the Jets are all of a sudden think that they throw Aaron Rodgers and they're going to win the Super Bowl. That's not going to happen. This might be a 1-year thing. So how worth it is it really?
Well, what's your deal? Your deal's 2 years, maybe. I mean, I know you got your quarterback locked up for 5, but let's be realistic here. Guess what? There are going to be a lot of ships sailing after this upcoming season.
Yeah, but the Eagles still have more pieces than the Jets do right now.
Yeah, that's because they should.
Yeah.
This is part of their 2-year window. Okay? Everybody operates in windows now, Matt. Nobody operates long-term. Everybody operates in windows now. Why do you think the Chiefs signed Mahomes the way they re-signed him? Windows. Right? They're trying to capitalize on the window that they have. Why do you think the Eagles signed Hurts? They're trying to capitalize on the window that they have. Okay? But these windows are limited. They're very limited. And the Jets have had no window for a long, long time. At least this gives them a window. I don't think they'll win the division. Buffalo is still, to me, the best team in the division.
I agree.
Right? But is it enough to get you into the playoffs? Once you get in...
Right, you never know what could happen.
We have seen a 6 in Green Bay win. We've seen a 6 in the Giants win. We've seen a 6 in the Steelers win. It's all about matchups at that point. Who do you end up matching up with? I mean, who really thought the Bengals were the best team to get to the Super Bowl 2 years ago? until they started playing the games. I mean, let's face it. The Bengals are a really tough matchup for Kansas City. And they beat him three straight times. Till finally they got him this time. And Cincinnati does not have a good offensive line. And Joe Burrow, I mean, knows exactly how many stars are in the sky. He's had to look up at them a lot. But it's going to be a question of whether he comes in shape, what is his motivation, and can he make plays on the move beyond that Jets offensive line? This is a hard topic for you to discuss. It's another person in sports you hate.
He has been inducted into the Hall of Stinkage already.
Well, at least he wasn't traded inside the NFC East. I mean, Josh Harris buys a team in the East, you freak out. This guy's at least going to the AFC. I mean, doesn't that at least qualify under your level of how trades need to be done?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine with them going to the AFC.
All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, now it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out and actually who is that, who is the best quarterback in New Jersey. See if Daniel Jones can keep it up and whether Aaron Rodgers can actually bring himself back.
Now that will be fascinating to see.
Now it should be pointed out that when you're arguing about who's the best quarterback in the NFL, your guy Jalen Hurts is right in the thick of the argument. That's a little bit different.
That's our QB1 right there.
And he's earned it. He has earned it. Second round pick to now a guy everybody would love to have on their team. Everybody would love to have Jalen Hurts.